All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Can you see it? Did you
notice? Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, Jers!
Yes, it's just a...
here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display.
They slayed the dragon.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. My name is Dave Cucadrelli. I am joined by the man who built the place, Chris Faber.
What's going on, man? Episode 111.
That's a nice number.
111. It's a pretty solid one for sure. You know, that was my go-to number for baseball. And most sports, actually. If I had to pick of the litter, it was number one.
That's what I wore, too. But don't the small guys usually wear number one?
Well, I wore it because I played first base.
Okay.
And I was the quarterback. So, like, also, like, when I wore a jersey, like, I was a huge kid, right? Like, I was, like, 6'3", 6'4", like in high school. Like I didn't grow since I was like 12 years old, probably. So when I wore number one, it was probably like twice the number one that you wore. Like it was a lot of that one number. So I thought it always kind of looked funny to have like one number that was way bigger than everyone else. Cause other people would wear like my shirt size was like double XL when I was 13. So like the number one on a double XL looks a lot different than someone wearing like 14 in a small shirt.
Man, I remember having to pitch to guys like you.
Yeah.
Like the big left-handed first baseman that hit four stick looked like he'd just finished wrestling bears before the game for his warm-up.
You know what was the best was like we did this a lot when we went to like a lot of regional tournaments. We'd go down to the States and play in Montana or Oregon and Washington and stuff. And, you know, BC would come down, Alberta would bring a team down. And normally at these tournaments, they would have sometimes they would have like a base running competition. You'd see who's the fastest guy there. Yep. But then they would also have the home run derby. And that's where each team, like, and you were getting like the beefiest kid from each region, right? So you had the biggest kid from like Utah, the biggest kid from Montana, the biggest kid from Alberta. Then you had me like representing BC because I was just a monster kid at the time. And like you just saw like us standing there and it looked like we were all like bigger than the coaches that were throwing batting practice
that
to
is
us, right?
Awesome.
And that was a lot of fun. And then like, yeah, we were like 13 years old, like playing on like MLB sized stadiums. And like still hitting them out at the time because it was like it was the big boys, like, and like they'd introduce us. It's like now 13 years old, 6'3", 260 pounds, and then like intro one of us is like, geez, you're playing against monsters. I still remember the first time we were in a home run derby and there was a 14-year-old, maybe 13, and he was 300 pounds. And I was thinking like, and like, we're like, okay, this kid's like, he was like 6'6", 300 pounds, and we're like, I don't know about this, like. It was very much
12.
Like the benchwarmers Iron 12 thing. So yeah, I don't know. Number one is it's a lot of fun, and yeah, seeing three of them on one name or one number of the episode, that's kind of fun to do. So
my number for baseball, I wore 24 for a bit because I was a big Mariano Rivera fan, but I didn't want to wear 42, so I wore 24. And Robinson Cano, you know, I'm a Yankees fan, right? Got my guys there. Mm-hmm. And then I switched to number one maybe in bantam. So when I was like 15. Cause you know, I was one of the smaller kids. I was fast. I could hit for contact. I hit one home run my whole life and it was just cause I got extremely lucky. I had a lot of inside the parkers, but, yeah, it was not fun watching me try to hit bombs.
Oh no.
No good like contact hitter though, man. I'll tell you, I like never struck out.
That's good. I struck out a lot.
I bet.
I couldn't hit a curveball or anything, but
really?
Hey, if you can't tell, there's not a lot of Canucks news.
Yeah, by the way, we've talked about youth baseball, talked about our glory days for the first, what is it, 7 minutes of the show?
No, we haven't gotten that.
Oh, that's good. Yet. We've only got five minutes.
We do have some news.
Well, let me talk about my pitch repertoire first. Okay, yeah, I'm kidding.
Well, Jake Kiely signed with the Vancouver Canucks, and we joked about this, like, okay, when the Canucks make a signing, they post it on @Canucks on Twitter, right? Yeah. You'll see it on @Canucks on Instagram, on Facebook, all the @Canucks. They didn't even post the signing on @Canucks. It was PR. It was @Canucks PR, which is like the account that we follow to know when like a Zoom meeting's going
to
happen,
when we
right?
get to go to the rink, that sort of
and
stuff.
And it's just like they posted it, like the PR account posted about it. I was like, oh, it's, you know, not a great look for Jake Kiely, but honestly, I actually really like Jake Kiely in the organization as a guy who's going to play alongside Mikey DiPietro in the AHL. And with what's going on in the AHL, some of the stuff that we've heard, and I think it was in Elliot Friedman's most recent 31 Thoughts, it looks like those teams, and there was three of them, I think we talked about this harm a little bit on the last episode too, but like it looks like those three teams could be coming up to Canada, and it makes a lot of sense for the Canucks to have their team in Langley. Like, what would you think about that? And how do you think, because like I watch a lot of AHL, I feel like I'm in it and I talk to a lot of people around it. Like, how do you think, because you're not as much into the AHL as I am, what do you think like is going to happen next year for the AHL?
Well, okay, so if they do this Canadian thing where they bring up the teams, and you said there's three teams that would need to come up, the Comets, and then who else? It's like the Oilers team, or sorry, the Flames team is the Stockton Heat, and then the Oilers have the Bakersfield Condors, okay, so those are the three, right?
Yep.
And then, so they'd come up, and they would have to play nearby, because the reasoning is you'd have to quarantine for 14 days.
If you came from the States.
Exactly, and assuming the rules don't change by then. So yeah, it makes sense. I mean, what's AHL hockey going to look like next year, though? Because these guys still get paid, right? And I mean, if they're not being, if there's no gate revenue, especially for a team like the Comets who rely so heavily on it, what is it going to look like? Like, you know what I could see happening is bringing the whole team up, like the Comets or whatever, and having them kind of just scrimmage against each other and try and get like maybe one or two other teams. Maybe,
you know, what's an interesting thought, and just the way that you said it there, it's like, so we've heard the idea float around, you know, that we'll talk about this later on in the episode too, but like an all-Canadian division.
Yep.
You wonder if like maybe the AHL team would almost travel with the NHL team. Like if it's going to be like the Canucks go to play Toronto for seven straight games.
Yep.
Right? Like that's something that they've heard out there. It's going to limit travel. You're not going to be bouncing all through Canada. You actually go to one spot, play all your games, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to have the AHL team like play in between. Right? Huh. Like maybe the Canucks play the Leafs on Monday.
And then the Marlies, The
Marlies play the Comets on Tuesday, you know, and then like it kind of rolls like something. That would be something that would be really interesting.
That's outside the box. That'd be interesting. But yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It's
and then
be...
you're actually like for money-wise, and the AHL is worried about money and not getting revenue, they're going to be able to like actually travel with the team. You can kind of do it on like the same fun. Like I'm sure they can all fit on one of the big planes.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, they'd get a bigger plane or something then. I don't know.
I guess you'd have to get a bigger plane.
Anyways, like, or maybe like they have to
get a bigger plane.
Canucks jump on the plane. They just jump on a bus. They're like busing from Vancouver all the way to Toronto. It's like, oh, awesome.
Oh, my gosh. HL life.
That would be riding the bus with Corey Hergar right there. Corey would be on that bus with him. You know that.
No, McEwen would be on the plane.
I told Corey in our, because you and I have a message with Corey. I told him if the Canucks or if the Comets do come to LEC and they start playing Langley.
Yeah, we're going to meet up.
I told Corey, we're opening up a room for him. He can come stay with me because I'm like 10, 15 minutes away. I'll be at all of those games if they are, which is, I'm excited to like actually get WHL just announced that they're starting on the 8th of January. That's going to be fun. I'm curious how that's going to work with media members being in there and how we're going to be able to deal with players, because last year at the LEC, we were able to like go down after every game.
Yeah, Dan O'Connor.
Dan O'Connor would go. He's like, who do you guys want? You know, Bowen Byram came out every time. I got to talk to Bowen Byram every night. You know, even like Justin Sordiff, lots of these guys, like the big name players that I wanted to talk to, like they were all coming out and you could deal with them on a nightly basis. And Dano was awesome, like bringing them out to us and stuff. But this year, like, I'm so curious how that's going to work. And we even, you know, we had lunch with Drancer on Thursday. Yep. Pastor Amore did it up. It was a good time. And we were kind of talking about that too, like how the media is going to work with it. Because like, I wonder, he said that like they like the Zoom ideas, right? Like they, you know, they only have to see the media for like 15, 20 minutes and they're good for like the whole time. Like they don't have to come out after every practice. But we saw it in the bubble that, you know, there were reporters there that would be on like the other side of the room and they would come up to a podium and speak to the guy, right? You didn't see it often, but you saw that sometimes in there. Like, and I found that kind of interesting too. So like, I was super curious to see what's going to happen for what these players availability is going to be like going into it, because it's, what they had to do in the playoffs was a lot easier than having a bunch of reporters storm the room after every game or after every practice and be in everybody's face. I feel like they kind of liked it more with the Zoom, but at first I thought they didn't, you know, because it's like, it takes about an hour to get done, right? Yep. Like to get through all the players and coaches, like it takes a long time. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see how that's going to work, because the NHL wants to start in January and I think they are going to start.
Look, the content that we're able to get from this, you know, and I'm not saying anybody, we've all done an exceptional job in Vancouver. I think everybody's done a great job given the circumstances. But you can't sit there and tell me that our jobs are not significantly harder trying to get quotes from these guys over Zoom when you get one question. It's hard to make a story out of that, man, about anything. And you look at what Botch did, mm-hmm. like the quotes he was getting from players, there's no way he could get that over Zoom. Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, if you want good content, you want good coverage, and I think that's the standard in Vancouver, you've got to have people in the dressing room. But again, like, I'm not saying they got to put people in. It's just, it's tough because it's such a balance. You've got to give at least more than one question.
Yeah. And I think it was, you saw that on the Nate Schmidt interview with Drancer, Schmidt asked him back. He's like, well, like, how'd you figure that out, man? And then he like waited a second and he's like, oh, like you can't hear back because they mute you as soon as you ask your question.
And that's not Canucks PR's fault. That's the NHL's fault. Yep. Like, that's the protocol that they're adhering to. Like, that's how it's working right now. And it sucks because, you know, Drance wrote a great story about it. But, man, how awesome would that story be if he was able to get
more
from
Schmidt?
Honestly,
it's probably good that they muted Drancer's mic. You'd hear him freaking cackling the whole time. And he laughs at everything so damn hard every time he does a media interview.
I love Drance's laugh. He was laughing at lunch yesterday. That was fun.
Yeah, okay, so we talk about Pastor Mori quite a bit. We had our regular penne toto with meatballs that we get.
Yeah.
He had a chicken parm, and that thing could have taken up a plate and a half.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was massive,
he
man.
He crushed it, too.
Straight up, we got no free ads on the show, but Pastor Mori, like, they treat us good. They knew as soon as we walked in too.
Drance got a good laugh out of that. As soon as the waitress walks up to our table, she's like, oh, focaccia? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, we come here a lot.
She knew the focaccia was coming right off the bat, and... Are we going to tell the Italian story, the Quadfather story a little bit or no?
Which one?
Quadfather
story. No, we're not telling that story. We're not telling Okay.
Behind the paywall, can we do it?
We'll do it behind the paywall. Okay. We'll tell that story behind the paywall on the Canucks Convo Patreon. $10 a month gets you the hero tier, so you get bonus content and a t-shirt mailed out to you and some hockey cards. We just throw stuff in the package. It's just kind of like a mystery package. We don't even know what's going in it.
No, $5 will get you the audio, though, if you don't want a t-shirt or anything.
We'll talk about it on the next Faber and Quads Shoot the Bleep.
That'll be fun. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that on the Patreon on Monday then, or whenever that comes out. Aside from that, the Jake Kiley signing is fine. It's a guy who's going to go play backup in the AHL. You know, Richard Bachman was there last year. He's now a coach. You know, certain players that came through there, like Louis Domingue was kind of signed to be in that role. Obviously, he went to the Calgary Canucks as well. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, Jake Kiley seems like a guy who came out of college that they wanted to give a shot. He only played two games last year for the Comets. I saw he had a really good game, actually. I think he allowed one goal on like 30-something shots. I remember him playing one really good game, and I think the other one wasn't bad either. Like, he played in two games. One of them might have been in relief, actually. But one of he played one really good game for the Comets last year. So I'm interested to see what he can do a little bit more as, like, a backup role. And, like, I know we talked about it earlier in the episode, but, like, I really like the idea now of, like, Canucks play on Monday, Comets play on Tuesday. Like, I really like the idea of the AHL teams traveling with their Canadian teams. That would be, you know, I haven't had that. I haven't heard that idea floated by anyone, but I really like it, like, the more I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. I just don't know if it'll actually happen.
Yeah.
But what I do want to ask you about the Kiley situation is, do you think the Canucks are going to sign a veteran backup similar to Zane McIntyre or like a Richard Bachman? Do you think they're going to sign one?
AHL backup?
Yeah, like an AHL backup for Mikey.
I don't think he needs it this year as much as he did last year, I think. Like, I think that he took over the starter role last year. You know, he's going to be, what, 21, 22 now going into this season? He's at the same age that Thatcher Demko took over the starting spot, like, full time. He's actually ahead of schedule of what Thatcher Demko took over the starter in the AHL. He's a year ahead of him, I believe. And looking at what DiPietro's situation is going to be like, maybe he doesn't really need that guy to baby him anymore. You know, like, he's done a full year now on the circuit with them. He's been in NHL games multiple times. He's done a bunch of camps with the Canucks. I don't think he needs it anymore. I think Jake Kiley's a good guy to have in there because there's a reason they went out and picked him up from the NCAA. Like, we all talk about, you know, like what Ian Clark does for this team looking for guys in the draft. He's obviously doing the same thing in NCAA. He's looking at the way that these guys shape. Jake Kiley's a big dude. He's a big 6'5" guy, 6'4" goaltender. He's a big guy. He looks huge on the ice. His pads look massive. He looks like he's playing in the early 2000s. Like, he's a massive goaltender, and I don't think he stuck out at training camp, like the first training camp in Victoria, as much as Artur Sillows did, who I got to get an eye on. But he plays at 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, I got to draw the line somewhere. I feel like I'm
good. You can't do all hours of the night.
I'll stay up till 1 and watch a game that ends at like 3:30. And I'll wake up at 5 like I did this morning. But 3:30 is like, it's so in between like staying up late and getting up ridiculously early. Like, if a game's at 3:30, I got to take that one off. Like, and it's Artur Sillows. If it was Höglander or Pod Colson, I probably would get up for that one. But man, we got to talk about Pods later on this episode too.
Yeah,
man.
We will.
It's tough.
I got to do a thing on Sillows. You know, I like the goaltenders. I got to do a nice little report.
Well, 3:30, man. What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm gonna get the shift package tomorrow morning. I'm gonna get the shift package.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna stay up till
you. Editors have it so easy, man. You get shift packages given to you.
I gotta ask for it, but yeah. Oh man, it's speaking of editing and Canucks Army. Holy cow. The content going up right now, man. Canucks Army's bumping. Canucks Army is bumping. I'm telling you.
You got that right.
Yep. Our page views are up. I'm very, very pleased with everybody's performance.
Doing Drance numbers over here.
Doing Drance numbers right now. It's good. It's good time. So go check out Canucks Army.
Yeah, the site's been a lot of fun lately, man.
Okay, we gotta talk a little bit about the main team though. How long have we gone into this without talking about the actual Canucks? 17 minutes almost. Okay. So let's get into it here. So, you know, we've got a few question marks still. Looking at that top six, Chris, you know, speaking of Canucks Army, whatever, there was the top 12 forwards that the Canucks could still get to play in the top six. Was there a name on that list who you saw and you were like, okay, like, that's the guy I want? Or do you have a guy of your own?
Well, Mike Hoffman was the name that pops off because, like, I heard rumblings that they were talking to him. Yep. I didn't want to report on it because, like, it was like a source I didn't really trust, but I heard Drancer report it.
Yep.
That they have had conversations with him and told him that they can't get a contract to him until they move money out. So I peeped into the Berchi camp a little bit and they're trying to get moved, and they were trying to say that they want the Canucks to hold on to half the money, and that's something the Canucks just don't want to do. So unfortunately, you know, if they hold on to half the money of Berchi, you're basically like saving like a few hundred thousand dollars compared to what you are sending him down to the minors. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but like, Sven Berchi is not going to play for Travis Green.
No, he's not.
Or sorry, he'll play for Travis Green, but Travis Green is not going to play Sven Berchi.
Yeah, no, he's not.
After training camp, it was not a good scene between those two. Him being sent down obviously rubbed him the wrong way. And I don't think that Travis is going to circle back anytime on Sven Berchi at all. So, that, you know, I like thinking about it like a year ago, even like a year and a half ago, looking at that season of the Canucks, like Sven Berchi would make a lot of sense to go up and play with Tanner Pearson and Bo Horvat, right?
Yeah.
Like it, I think he would be a better like fit in that spot than Jake Virtanen. Like Jake Virtanen has to be on the line with Pettersson and Miller to have any success in a top six.
So what I will say, similar to Virtanen, the only way Berchi or Virtanen fits on that line is if the nature of the second line changes. If the Canucks have a legitimate two-way third line center, like a Philip Danault or a Cirelli, whatever, playing that can play the big minutes, that's the only way that Berchi can go in the top six. But right now, he's just he doesn't have enough defensive capabilities for Travis Green to trust him in that role. And again, same with Jake Virtanen. We've seen what that line does together. If they're going to be facing tough matchups like the Horvat line has been, I don't know. Like that's not going to be something that can even happen. No. Again, they'd need a third line center to do that. But, you know, on the topic of matchups, I do want to ask you a bit because, you know, I wrote about this later in the season. Because it happened late in the season, that last game against the Islanders in the 2019-20 season before the pandemic shut everything down, Elias Pettersson played a matchup role. And when I was looking at what the Canucks were going to get in a matchup with the Minnesota Wild, I also wrote about it again, and I was saying, like, are we going to see Elias Pettersson in a matchup role? And sure enough, that's what we saw. Elias Pettersson was playing against the best lines Minnesota had to offer. You know, Travis Green was hard matching him against St. Louis. And yeah, Ryan O'Reilly got the best of him. But again, like, if Pettersson's trust enough to go up against O'Reilly, like, are we seeing a shift at the start of next season? Is Pettersson going to be playing in a matchup role and just absolutely dominating? Like,
not if Jake Virtanen has to play there.
Exactly. You know? And that's my point. So that's why I think the lotto line has to stay together. Because if you want to have that dominant line that can just go up against the opposition's best and simply outplay them, which I think the lotto line can, especially when they're firing on all cylinders, do you then, like, where does Jake Virtanen fit then? I guess it's the third line. So, hold on, Chris. Are we looking at Louis Erickson on the second line once again?
Well, no, because you're not going to... Then you have, like, if you're matching up the Pettersson line against their best line, you don't have to worry about the Horvat line going up there anymore.
That's true.
You can place Horvat in an actual second line center role.
But what they were doing in the playoffs was they were kind of cycling them through. Like, it was the Horvat line, the Pettersson line, they were all playing the matchups. Like, it wasn't like a hard match for a lot of the time. And then, you know, we saw O'Reilly... away from Horvat in the Blues series, and that's kind of why Horvat had such a great series, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is that, like, Jake can't play on Horvat's line.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's another opposite players. Exactly. And they don't play well together. You know, Horvat's a guy who's going to be able to track a man in the defensive zone and be able to be all over a Connor McDavid or all over a Leon Draisaitl or a Nate MacKinnon. Like, he's going to shadow him, right? Like, that's what Horvat's going to be able to do. And if you have Horvat, it doesn't even have to be like the best players in the league. It just has to be the best player on the team. Like, Horvat's going to be all around him, right? Like, that's why Horvat goes out there and is used in that line. Tanner Pearson on that line, he does a good job of getting involved in board battles. He's a great guy. He's got a strong stick. Like, I always say, it feels like Tanner Pearson's stick is made out of steel because, like, he's got a strong stick. When he is, you know, blade to blade against a guy with the puck in between, Pearson wins a lot of those. That's where, like, that's where I like what Pearson can bring to a team. Jake Virtanen is just floating at that point with that line, and it really doesn't fit in the defensive zone. In the offensive zone, like, sure, Jake Virtanen coming down the wing and being the shooter instead of Tanner Pearson probably generates more offense, right? Like, Tanner Pearson, we saw him score a couple of big goals in the playoffs, you know, in the play-in series as well. Like, he scored a couple of really nice shots. Like, he came in and made a couple of shots, which I've called Tanner Pearson's shot a muffin for a while. But, like, Jake Virtanen has a pretty strong shot if he can actually get it on net. This year he made strides of actually hitting the net. Last year, the amount of times that he missed the net was ridiculous. But, yeah, like, that's what I said, and, like, I wrote it. Like, it's – I think we're coming into the first game of the year, and I think that it's going to be Jake Virtanen playing with Pettersson and Miller. Unless they can actually sign a top-six guy, the top-six is better with – and I hate to say it – the top-six is better with the lotto line broken up because the second line is so much worse. If you have Jake Virtanen in there, it's so much better with Brock Besser in there. And I think Brock Besser is a guy who, you know, obviously didn't really look great with the Horvat line and the Pearson line moving in. That's why I really, like, the Canucks' biggest need right now, a lot of people are saying it's on the defense. We talked about it for a long time with Harmon on last episode. Yeah. But, like, the biggest thing they can add right now, Schmidt was key. They needed a top four more than this. But if they can add a guy who can play with Horvat, and it could just be as simple as Josh Levo. You know, and the latest on Levo is that the thing that's holding Levo back from signing with anyone is because he can't get that final clearance from the medical team. Like, he still isn't 100% healthy. Like, he still hasn't passed it. They're hoping that he passes in the next few days here, and then we could see a signing come down. But I think Levo makes a lot of sense on that line. Levo is a defensively, you know, gifted player. He's a guy that we saw Louis Eriksson fit into that spot because Louis's pretty good defensively. He gets to the right spots. He breaks stuff up. Nothing happens when Louis Eriksson's on the ice, right? He doesn't get scored on. He doesn't score goals. But Josh Levo can score goals, and he also plays good defensively as a winger. He can play both sides. So, like, you don't have to, like, I know that Tanner Pearson played a lot of minutes with Bo Horvat, but you don't have to be 100% attached to that because Levo can play the left side. So maybe that line looks a lot different next year.
And that's exactly the name I was going to bring up. I was going to say, okay, now you've said all this. Now what if I add Josh Levo in? And I think you're right. Like, I think you want to keep the Lotto line together, especially depending on what you do with the matchups, right? You want to keep that Lotto line together. Putting Josh Levo on the second line, again, you're worried about the foot speed. That's the only thing you're worried about with Josh Levo. Obviously, Jake Virtanen has that. But again, like, Josh Levo has the board battles, has the puck retrieval. He's good on both ends of the ice. You're just a little bit worried about the foot speed, especially.
And keep him away from Pettersson.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Especially coming back from a knee injury. You're definitely worried about the foot speed.
Speaking of Levo and Pettersson, Goldie looked good today. Goldie looked so... I got to watch Goldie play. So, like, Pod Colson's team played against CSK, which is Goldobin's team. Goldobin's making plays through his... He's putting the puck through his legs. He's making through his legs passes like he's playing NHL 21. And, like, almost scored a goal today. He was mad at a couple of plays. He played good defensively. He was getting physical. Like, man, I just...
What?
You know, it was...
Where was this?
Dude, Goldie's a star. There was a... Somebody had a picture put up of him. Somebody drew his face, like, in a very well done, like, painting of him. And they did such a good job. I tweeted it out. They panned the camera from the picture that somebody drew of Goldobin down to Goldobin's face. And, like, he's a star, man. He's an absolute star in the KHL. We got to get him on the show one day.
I think you're the most likely person to show up to a Canucks game with an oil painting of Nikolai Goldobin.
You know what? Yeah, probably. I should show up to the press box. My first ever one on one, as a media member, was with Nikolai Goldobin.
Huh.
I remember going there, like, not knowing how to set up a one-on-one, and, like, this was at training camp, and I was just, like, so I was nervous as hell, and, like, I saw, like, everyone getting one-on-ones with, like, Petey and Quinn and, you know, a lot of the big-name guys. Everybody had Jordy Banks's and Victoria, and then, like, Nikolai Goldobin, I was, like, the guy that I requested, and I was like, oh, please give me Goldie. And then he came out and talked. He was so nice. We joked around. We had some fun. We talked about vodka. Like, it was a really good conversation. And, like, yeah, you know, I think I still have that. I should have aired that on the pod, but I never ended up doing it. I just used it for an article. But, yeah, like, yeah, it was a fun game anyways with him. But back to the Canucks after my Goldie
digression.
I just miss the guy, man. Free goal. Like, he's finally been freed. And just seeing him be freed in the KHL was so nice. And I saw a free Goldie after pushing the movement for so long. He's finally been freed. And I'm just happy. I'm happy for Nikolai Goldobin. My sweet little Russian prince. He's gone. So,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Back to the Canucks
man,
top
you go to the press box, you open up your wallet, and there's just a picture of Goldobin in Faber's wallet, eh?
Yeah. I open up my laptop, and it's my background. It's just a Goldobin picture.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to the listener of the show, Dave Wilson, too. He sent me two signed cards of Nikolai Goldobin rookie cards. He got one from the CHL and one from the San Jose Sharks, both signed. One has a jersey cut into it.
Where did he put Junior? It was Sarnia, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who he played alongside? I'm going to forget this now. Reed Boucher, I think.
Really? Wow.
No, Reed Boucher's a little bit older.
No, I think you're right. He played in Sarnia. I'm checking. You keep talking.
Yeah, well, anyways, it was good to watch him play today. I think they did actually play together around the same time. But, it was good. And, yeah, we'll get to Pod Colson later on in the episode. But, like, things aren't looking very good right now with what's going on with Pod Colson. And he recently just came out in, like, an English article that dropped on the KHL English website. There's some very interesting things said by him in that one. So, interesting times for sure. But, looking back at the Canucks top six, Levo makes a lot of sense.
Play together.
Okay, good. I thought so. I feel like everyone thinks, like, I just feel like Reed Boucher is like 29, but he's only like 24.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Both ripping it up in the KHL now.
Yeah, they were linemates, I think, too, in the Sarnia.
Look at them go.
All right, the final. Yeah, let's round it up with the top six. Like, Levo makes a lot of sense. And then it's like, where do you play Jake? Because then you can keep the Lotto line together. If Levo's healthy and he can play on that second line, it's good. And then from there, like, you just kind of hope that the Canucks can move some money around for next season and upgrade it, because that's not a playoff second line, unfortunately. Like Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat, and Josh Leivel, just like it's a fine line. It'd be a really good third line, but that's not a playoff second line, I don't think, unless Horvat's going absolute beast mode like he did these playoffs.
I think Tyler Mott's going to be in the top 9 forward group. That's my hot take. I think so. And I think you could put Zach MacEwen in that conversation as well.
Yeah, I would say I'd have Zach MacEwen in the top 9.
Over Mott?
Over Mott, yeah.
You think so?
I think Mott fits the fourth line, like just the way he plays so well.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I just
MacEwen think... MacEwen, when he gets going, like he gets a lot of chances at certain times. He doesn't get a lot of ice time. Like, I think of the game against Colorado, I think he had 7 minutes, right? Like, he had 7 minutes and 2 goals in that game.
I just think, because you want more lines that you can trust, right? Because we talked about this with Harmon. It's like a Jake Gaudette, MacEwen third line isn't getting ice time.
Right.
But a Jake Gaudette, Mott line is getting some more ice time, or a Mott, Gaudette, MacEwen line is getting ice time.
Yeah. You know what I get down with, like, hard for my top nine? It's like my dream top nine that's actually possible. It would be the Lotto line on the first line. It would be Josh Leivel with Horvat and Pearson on the second line. And then it would be signing Hoffman and making that line. Like, they wouldn't get a lot of ice time, but they would be able to contribute offensively. It'd be Hoffman, Gaudette, and Virtanen.
I don't know about Hoffman, man. Like,
man, he is dynamic,
though. He can rip the puck. Don't get me wrong.
He really shoots, like, at a ridiculous rate on the power play.
But the Canucks aren't going to put him on the power play. He's not going to play on the first unit, man.
Think about the guys that he's going up against if he's playing on Gaudette's line. Think of the competition that he's not in a top six role anymore. He's going up against third and fourth lines on that spot.
But think of how much you'd have to pay him too.
Yeah, well,
it's going to be a 1 year deal, and he's going to come in at least $4 million. At least.
I don't know about that. I don't think I would bet you that Hoffman signs for less than $4 million wherever he signs. I bet he signs for less than $4 million.
Okay, we're betting a Subway sandwich.
Subway.
Yeah.
What in the hell?
I'm craving Subway right now, so that's what we're betting.
Oh my! You know the last? I haven't had Subway sandwich in so long.
Big Star. We'll go to Big Star.
Okay. I'll bet a Big Star sandwich on it.
Yeah. Hoffman signs for over $4 million.
Yeah. I'll take the under on that.
Okay. I'll take the over.
What if it's not a 1 year deal? Do we just cancel the bet? Because he's probably going to sign a 1 year deal.
$4 million AV.
Okay. Then that it's better for me. Yeah. I was giving you an out there.
It's okay. He's signing a 1 year deal. He's not getting long-term.
Okay. I think it's under four. I think it's 3.75.
It's over four. It's over four.
Okay. That's a good bet for me to take. All right. Let's go to break, man.
Let's go. So we'll talk to we'll hear from our sponsors, and then, we'll come back on the other side. We don't know what we're going to talk about. You're listening to the Canucks Conversation. And before we go any further, just wanted to give a quick shout out to the presenting sponsor of the Canucks Conversation podcast, Zephyr Epic, Canada's source for trading card games and sports cards. We open a lot of hockey cards for them, and you can too. You can use promo code CanucksConvo for $5 off your order. They ship free anywhere in Canada on orders over $50, so take advantage of that. Again, that is promo code CanucksConvo at ZephyrEpic.com, Zephyr Epic, on all platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, and join them on Twitch every Thursday for weekly case break giveaways. Chris and I have a lot of fun doing these. You guys should check them out as well. We've been having a lot of luck. We open a lot of Quinn Hughes cards, and now we're doing the DiPietro diving. You can catch us on Twitter and Instagram opening hockey cards at random times. It's really hard to find out when we're going to do it because we don't really know when we're going to do it. But be on the lookout for that and make sure you go buy yourself some hockey cards, whatever cards you need, from Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic on all platforms. New Mike's Hard Blue Freeze hits you with the nostalgia of a blue freezy with bold blue raspberry flavor and a refreshingly crisp finish. Mike's Hard Lemonade is a Canadian original made with natural flavors. Chris, this is one of the very few alcohols that I actually enjoy. And man, you got to be careful with these things because they go down like candy.
They do. They are probably easier to take down than a freezy because those freezies, they kind of hurt your throat sometimes, you know, the blue freezies. These ones don't. These are just absolutely delicious, perfect summertime drink. And I'm wondering what they're going to be like in the winter, to be 100% honest.
I mean, I had one 2 days ago. It was kind of cold. It was raining. It was just fine.
That's good. Even when you're feeling a little blue, you could go for a blue freeze.
Absolutely. And yeah, if you guys haven't tried it yet, go get yourself some Mike's Hard Blue Freeze. And a huge thank you to our presenting sponsors, Zephyr Epic and Labatt Breweries. The Mike's Hard Blue Freeze. Chris, I drank like three of these before I knew it the other night. And that kind of came out of nowhere. Like I said, they go down easy if you're not careful.
You guys should have heard the F-bombs and the words that Quads was saying on Warzone that night.
Really? Was that? No, that was a different night. That was sober me.
Just joking.
Anyways, we have to get into a little more Canucks talk. There's not a ton to talk about, so this isn't a mailbag episode, but we did put out a call out on Twitter asking people to send us questions.
And I'm
we,
surprised, because the Canucks signed a goalie, and you're the goalie guy. You like talking, you know, you don't want to
I haven't
break
seen a lot
this.
Of Keeley. Okay. Ask me about Blomqvist. Go ahead.
No, I'm not asking.
Ask me about Pittsburgh about Penguins draft pick. Pittsburgh Penguins draft pick, 52nd overall, I think. Joel Blomqvist, ask me about him.
No, we don't want to drop hard in the charts. We do okay in Vancouver. Maybe it'll get our Pittsburgh numbers up.
Yeah, but. There we go. Get our Pittsburgh numbers up. Okay, so, I mean, there's one question that has to go to you right away. This is the first one that came in. And someone asked about the history of our bumper song, Robot.
Yeah, Robot by Wise Youngblood. Not a lot, but a few people have asked lately on the show or lately on Twitter what the intro song is. And it's Robot by Wise Youngblood. Wise Youngblood is a band that is created in Cedar and Nanaimo. Some boys from there. That's my hometown where I grew up. Went to high school with Kyle, who is the lead singer for them. And yeah, they started dropping some awesome music, went to a couple of their shows. They rock hard. They, you know, play some covers, play a lot of their own music. And Robot just seemed to fit pretty good. I liked the way that that song kind of fires up on the intro. And I talked to Kyle, and, you know, I didn't want to really get hit with some copyright infringement playing some other song, and I didn't want to mix a bunch of other stuff together. So I was like, you know what? This song works, and I like it. So I went with it. And, yeah, it's nice to support a local band, Wise Youngblood. Check them out. It's too bad. They were really just starting to kind of take off a little bit and do some – I think they did a Western Canada tour, but then COVID hit, so it kind of sucks for them. Like, they were just building some momentum. So I was really excited for my buddies, like, good guys, all four of them. Listeners of the show as well, so they like to check in. They love hearing the intro every time. So that's kind of – yeah, that's where that came from, and it works. Like, it works great. It's a great song. The timing, yep. I think, is right. A lot of people say it's too long. I hear you, but a lot of people like the way. I've heard more people say they like the intro song than think it's too long. So those people out there that are tweeting me that it's too long, I don't know, maybe not enough of you guys are tweeting me telling me it's too long, because I've heard a lot of people that do enjoy it. So that's where that song came from.
Going to put up a poll in the Canucks Convo Twitter account.
Yeah, so people do it anonymously, because maybe like our listeners that we interact with the most and the ones that we like the most actually hate it. And they just don't want to be mean and say it, so I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay, another question is, which Canucks are in town? This is one I can answer. Elias Pettersson spending his offseason here. I can't wait to talk to him about that, just what went into that decision. Zach MacEwen as well, staying out here. He was golfing in Langley the other day, actually. Who else stayed? I mean, Edler lives here. Who else stayed? Help me out.
Brock Besser was in the studio there with Pettersson in that picture.
Oh, and Demko was
Quinn
there too.
Hughes was there. Demko was there. I think a lot of them. I think
that was
more
an old
than
photo.
Them, was it? Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe, because like I feel like more are staying this year than in the past.
Yeah.
Just because like it's only a few months away from the season like ramping up again. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I don't know if we can name a full list.
I mean,
like,
Pettersson's the king of Vancouver already. Have you seen the hype beast this guy's like? Look at the outfits this guy's wearing, man.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Guy lives at Holt Renfrew. That's awesome. I don't know. I like it. He's like one of the very few hockey players who's really showing his personality. Even the thing like just replying to Mr. Booth on Twitter, that was so funny. I love that.
You know what was the best part? I saw Booth tweeted this out. Friend of the show, been on a bunch of times. He's a good dude. That he's like, his pinned tweet is a picture of like Brad Pitt and
oh yes,
I don't know. I don't know who the girl is in that picture, but he's like Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson showing up.
Oh my gosh,
or whatever the tweet is. Like,
and it looks identical.
Yeah, so identical. Like, I wonder what we should do to interact with Petey, because obviously
we'll have him on the show first of all.
That would be nice. Clarissa, obviously who is now with us at Canucks Army. She was kind of like the first to get like a big interaction with him when he made the video. That was absolutely insane. Like, I wonder what we would have to do to get Pettersson out for something.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have him on the show, bring him to Pasta Mori, show him the good stuff. Then he'll want to interact with us on Twitter.
That would be good. Yeah, we'll get him. We'll do the whole menu if we get PDO to Pasta Mori. I feel like that's good enough pub for them. It's like, and then we can try everything on the menu, because, you know, we haven't tried anything. We just got to get PD to come to dinner with us. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that is the hard part. Okay, so another question is, would love to hear about your guys' story getting into the industry and the kind of sacrifice that are made to do so. Now, I've answered the first part of this question multiple times. Everybody knows it started by me DMing you. We didn't really work together for a while, and so it's funny that we ended up being friends. And
I was trying to get away from you every time you came to the spot I was at. I was ready to leave. I'm ready to leave Canucks Army pretty soon. Here.
Well, I just become your boss everywhere you go.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm trying to leave at all these places.
Jeez. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I became Faber's boss. No. Yeah, I mean, I got started at the Canuck Way. Faber asked me to join the podcast in January. That's how I got started on the radio side of stuff. And now we're both at radio school together.
Struggling.
It's been good, though. I don't know. I'm doing well. I think you're doing well, too.
You're doing a lot better than me.
That's okay.
You're doing 1% well. Better than me on every freaking test. I still haven't beat you on one test or assignment yet.
That's okay. It probably won't happen over our 2 years.
Probably there. Not.
That's okay. No, it will. I'll
until we do one take stuff. When we start doing one take stuff, I got you beat.
Yep.
Just or hear you say nostalgia. That's I'll ruin you every time on the ad. They heard that.
Oh my gosh, they missed that was the outtakes so funny.
Of what yeah. we were wanting to do.
We got to do bloopers on this show because sometimes we have some funny stuff that gets cut. It's yeah. Anyways, but yeah, that's kind of how I got started. In terms of sacrifices, I think Faber and I can both speak to this. It's not easy to do what we have done to like, I don't know, like I've pissed off a lot of people by just not like, my friends will be like, oh, let's go hang out. And I'm like, no, I got to write. And this was back when I was like not getting paid much at all. And it was literally just because I was like, I have to do it because I have to get my name out there and I have to get up in the industry and I have to get noticed. And it's hard to get noticed. Like, it is not easy, but you know, you figure it out after a while. I just wrote the 51 reasons they shouldn't trade Stetcher that I did way back when was kind of a one that kind of.
Yeah, people love your list. Your list, like, that's something that gets you noticed, right?
Working on one right now.
You're struggling on that too, to go along with your
school. I am. We got to get out of school first and then I'll be able to finish it.
Yeah, I know. We're in like finals week right now for people that don't know, which is weird because, like, I don't know. I'm not even going to try and explain it, but they've split semesters in half. So, like, yeah.
I don't want to talk about school on the podcast.
We're in finals week though, so it's a tough weekend.
Actually, funny thing in school, we had an assignment where we had to do a discussion topic where we talk about a podcast we like that we listen to and like analyze the podcast.
You didn't pick this one, did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. But one of our classmates did.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he was like, oh yeah, the Canucks Conversation is hosted by David Guadrelli and Chris Faber, blah, blah, blah. It was pretty funny because he did a full analysis on our podcast and I'm like reading this and I'm like, wow, that's hilarious.
This is how I can tell that you're a much better student than me. I haven't even started this thing or I haven't even looked at this assignment yet.
I finished it yesterday. I did the PatCast my choice.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'd have to check that. I'm definitely not doing the VanCast, I'll tell you that. But like, I think that it's definitely a lot of sacrifice. Like, yeah, you miss out. Like, man, like I used to drink every Friday and Saturday night with my friends. I don't do that anymore. Unfortunately, I miss that a lot. But at the same time, it's, you know, when you have work to do, it's a struggle to write a post game report after a dog of a game where the Canucks lose 4-0. And yeah, the biggest thing is trying to do something different. That's the thing that I took the most from Ryan Beach, who hired me at Canucks Army the first time and wanted to bring this podcast to Canucks Army, was like I always remember it. And I'm trying to do it right now because like when he got hired by the Canucks, he was killing it with prospects gifts. Like he was blowing up every single Elias Pettersson thing, every single guy that's a 6th round pick or a 7th round pick. Like he was crushing it. And that's like, I still remember like the quote was just like, find something different and knock it out of the park. And like, that's what I'm trying to do with the Canucks prospects right now. And I think I'm accomplishing that. I'm losing a lot of sleep from doing it for sure. But like, even today, like I think I'm like, I woke up at 1, right? I didn't wake up. I stayed up till 1 to watch Lodiev play. Dmitry Zlodiev, 6th round pick of the Vancouver Canucks, and he doesn't play for the MHL game at 1 o'clock. And then it's like 1:30. I should get to bed. And I find out that his VHL game is at 5 a.m. So woke up for that instead. So yeah, like I think the biggest sacrifice for me has been sleep. And I know my girlfriend hasn't made it this far into the episode right now, but, she's a trooper for dealing with the crap that I have to do for hockey. Like even like tomorrow morning, waking up at 6 a.m., she's like, mad that we can't do anything on Saturday morning because I have to watch Höglander and then write about Höglander. And yeah, it's just like you lose a lot of the free time that you had before, you know. And like that's why I really try and take advantage of, like, you know, we joke about like Warzone and like playing Call of Duty every night, but like that's like 1 hour in the day that you can like just separate, you know, from it. It's actually like very like
therapeutic
nice for stress. It's very therapeutic for sure. It's nice to just like relax. And you know, like I still try and keep up with my friends. Like, and video games a good way to do it because, like, you're in party chat with your friends, you're chatting with them. Like, I find it's a really good way to just kind of like relax and not worry about stuff. But occasionally, hockey gets brought up, and it's like at that point, you're talking in a little different way because you're just having fun. So that's a little bit more fun, just to kind of turn it off. But you have to be like to do this kind of thing. Like, you have to be turned on at all times. You know, like you
work
have
never
to have
stops.
It on.
Work exactly. never stops, man. You got to keep your phone on you. You got to have post notifications for Elliot Friedman, Rick Dhaliwal, all the guys,
Chris Faber.
Yeah. I know you had mine on for a bit, which
I do still have yours on because I like to see when you tweet something stupid. I normally like you get these days where you start tweeting a bunch and then it's like normally by, like, you don't like to tweet. People know this. You talk about this on the pod. When you start to get to, like, 6-7 tweets in a day, I'm like, oh, God, this is when it starts to get stupid. So when Quad starts saying stupid stuff or he's annoyed and he's arguing with someone, like, if you tweet more than 6 times in a day, your tweets are bad. Like, I know that at that point.
Yeah, I'm pissed. If I'm sending more than 6 tweets, someone said something to really grind my gears, yep, and I'm going to put them in a grave before my day's finished. So that's part of my work day as well.
Yep.
Owning people on Twitter every once in a while. No, I'm very careful with my dunking. Like, I need to make a burner account because I don't like liking tweets, because then, you know, I've seen people, like, people have messaged me like, oh, why'd you like this? And, like, it'll be something political and I'm just like, oh, like it was, like, actually I can give the example. It was like a video of
Logan Paul.
No, it was a video of Trump and he said something and you know, it was from the Donald Trump Twitter account. So I liked it. And like, oh, you're a Trump supporter? I'm like, what the hell? How'd you get that from that? Like, I just liked to tweet from
people
the...
People are sneaking in the things they see that you like.
Yeah, and I was like, well,
I still like a lot. If I think something's... Even if it's like some dumbasses on Twitter like it, if they make a good post, like, I'll like it. If they put in effort and made like a good post, I don't care who's... Like, who it is. Like, if it's funny, I'm going to like it. I like a lot of tweets, though.
So yeah, I need to get...
Maybe that's good. Like, I disguise my likes because I like so many goddamn tweets.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like Twitter. We have to use it for work, though, and I respect that, so I use
Twitter,
it. Man.
Twitter made this show.
Twitter did make this show. That's true. Mm-hmm. Twitter kind of made both of us, if you think about it.
Yeah, most definitely it did.
Yeah. That's how we first got in touch, too. Jeez. I'm pulling it up. All right,
heard the story 100 times.
Yeah. So this is how I got started. No, I'm not going to tell that story again. Okay, we've got a question from JL. Some good TV series or movies to watch while we deal with these dark months without hockey. I'll go first.
Go for it.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is like one of my favorite shows. And obviously The Office, like, it's a great one. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, in terms of like keeping you hooked and like cliffhangers and whatever, like, man, I am so pumped for season 8. So pumped for season 8 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I've been saving it because, like, I watched it on TV before it got canceled. I think it was like season 5 they had on one of the
stations. Yeah, it got canceled for one day.
Yeah, and it was on the one station for 5 seasons. I watched all of those, and then I haven't watched the last 3 or 2 seasons that they've had on the new one. So I'm excited to get into that. Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. It's some of the best. It definitely rivals some of The Office, like, intro scenes. Like, I still think Fire Drill is the best intro scene of all time.
Oh, 100%.
For sure. But, like, the Backstreet Boys, obviously, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is good.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's their creme de la creme for intros. But I've got somewhat of a hot take for TV shows that you should watch. Parks and Rec is awesome.
I've heard it's good.
First season sucks really bad. And, like, I think that's what happened. Like, I tried watching it a bunch of times, and I got through the first half of the first season. I'm like, it's just not great. They're trying to be The Office so hard. Like, they have some of the same writers from The Office as well. So, like, it's a similar kind of comedy. But the first season sucks because they're just really trying to make it look like The Office and feel like The Office, and it's bad. But it gets really good in season 2, and it gets really good from there on. And my hot take is Andy and April is a better couple than Jim and Pam from The Office by a mile.
Cool. I don't know how.
Well,
to...
some people, I know. Well, some people at The Office, like, they like Jim and Pam, and I feel like a decent amount of people don't like them. But
you know what JD Burke and I talk about a lot?
What's that?
Is people on dating apps.
Bolo ties?
We talk about bolo ties a lot. No, people on dating apps, their bio is just, and you know this, you were once on those.
Yeah.
It's literally just looking for my gym or just looking for my Pam.
Just looking
like
for the Pam. To
watching
my gym.
The Office is not a personality trait, and a lot of people need to understand that.
And respect for Jim and Pam, like, still one of my favorite episodes. It's the 2-parter one where they get married in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Still, that's one of my favorite scenes. When like Forever by Chris Brown plays, that's potentially my favorite song on like with a song montage. It might be my favorite song montage of any television show ever.
That's fair.
It's convinced me that I want to come down the aisle at my wedding to Forever by Chris Brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of my karaoke songs, for sure. When I was a rookie on the VI Raiders in the Canadian Junior Football League, the rookies had to entertain on the bus rides. So we had like a defensive bus we split it up sometimes, 2 buses. But we fit on the 1 bus most of the time. It'd be offense versus defense. Like, who could make the captains more entertained? And I did a rendition of Forever by Chris Brown, and that knocked it out of the park. And we used to have like a rookie draft. So like captains would draft rookies and they had to be like entertaining. And I was 20 years old. A lot of these kids were like 17, 18 on this team because it's Canadian Junior Football League. But I just like randomly showed up to the VI Raiders tryouts and just like I was out of shape, not working out for like 2 years. And I just made the team. Like I made the team and like I just showed up at 20 years old because I was older than everyone. And I was always like the first pick because like I was always trying to entertain pretty hard on the bus rides. I think I did a pretty good job. Like I remember, is it a Beatles song called Let It Go? Or Let It Be?
Let It Be.
So someone's saying Let It Be. Like we had to, on our rookie night at training camp, we had to sing a song. Each rookie had to sing a song. And if they got booed, like you got water bottles and all these like fruits thrown at you on the stage.
Wow.
And the guy in front of me did Let It Be by the Beatles and he sucked and he got everything thrown at him. And I was like, perfect timing because I was singing Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'm also going to be singing a song that starts with Let It. But I'm singing Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack. And I went up there and belted out Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack and crushed it. Like, I remember sitting there in my bed, like, knowing that rookie night was coming up and that I needed to put on a good show because I didn't want to get pelted with fruits and water bottles and stuff.
This so sounds I, like, awful.
Yeah, I didn't want that to happen because it happened to a lot of people. Like, you had to be pretty good. And I remember, like, sitting there in my bed, like, nights before, like, listening nonstop to Let It Go from whatever that artist's name is from the Frozen soundtrack. So I just, like, knew all the words and wasn't going to mess anything up. And yeah, I did it pretty good. So like, if I get to karaoke, my number one song for karaoke is "Hero" by Enrique Iglesias.
Yes,
but "Forever's" up there. "Lightning Crashes" is another good one. You'll hear that one eventually. When I can't wait to get back to karaoke bars, man. One of my favorite things to do.
I don't think people would want to hear me sing. I'm not a good singer. I sing a lot at my house.
What would be your song though?
Oh man, well I know like every Beatles song literally by heart. Like I could recite the lyrics.
It'd be like rookie night all over again if you go up and sing Let It Be and bomb and people are throwing drinks at
no,
you.
No, I wouldn't go for Let It Be. That's like way too bold. I could play guitar. I should bring the clarinet instead of sing. That's what I'll do. No, people would throw stuff at me for sure.
Yeah. No. Well, it'd be fun, you know.
I'll give them twinkle twinkle
we'll get
little
stuff. Some Mike's Hard Blue Freeze into you and then you'll loosen up the vocal cords a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, it'd be a Beatles song for sure. I know like every Beatles song. I wouldn't have to worry about forgetting the lyrics. I don't know.
That's what you don't want. You know what? Karaoke, I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's only half about how good of a singer you are. The second half is like how much you put on a show.
Yeah, that's true.
So can I tell another karaoke story?
Of course. I mean, this podcast is no longer about hockey.
This is
karaoke conversation.
This is the kind of stuff people behind the Patreon get this a lot. Like they get these stupid stories.
Yeah.
Since it's not like Canucks news, we're doing a little bit of a Patreon style episode. Okay. So one time, the only time at a bar where I've ever had a girl come up and give her number to me, like straight up, like, you know, I've asked for numbers before.
Yeah.
Turned down a lot. But the only time that a girl's ever like walked up, written her phone number down and given it to me was I was at the Stormcrow pub, which is like, I think it's like a nerd bar is what they kind of go by. Like they have a huge Millennium Falcon when you walk through the front.
Where
like,
is this?
A huge, I have no idea. I know how to
Nanaimo or Vancouver?
Vancouver.
I know this place. Yeah.
It's by some bridge, maybe in like West Van.
When
I'm not
did
really
you
sure.
go there?
Oh man, I don't know. It was after a Canucks game and I was wearing shorts and a
before you knew me. Okay. Yeah, cause I was going to say, how did you not bring me?
20. So I was after a Canucks game on a Monday night. Maybe a Tuesday. And I was wearing that yellow Trevor Linden jersey.
Yeah.
I was wearing red basketball shorts. And I sang Hero by Enrique Iglesias to like, there was a group of girls. And then one of them was like, oh, it's her birthday. So I was like, I was singing Hero by Enrique. And I was getting into it. Like I was putting on a show and I was doing a really good job of it. And I like went right up to her, like, you know, dancing in front of her, singing,
oh my
I Can Be Your Hero, Baby by Enrique Iglesias. And then like 20 minutes later, she came over and like, had like a, what's it called? The coasters. It was like a coaster. And she like wrote her name. She's like, are you single? And I was like, yeah, she wrote her name on there. And I never texted her.
Wow. Yeah, how it was her birthday.
I have it saved in my Snapchat memories though, like of the phone number.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. It was a fun night for sure.
Wow. You know, we're going to have to text that number one day.
To get her on the show.
Yeah. Get her on the show.
It's going to be deep into the off season when that starts happening.
Oh my gosh, that'd be fantastic. I don't have any karaoke stories. Like,
I know you just turned 19. You just turned 19 a couple of years or a year and something ago. So you have any? Have you been to a karaoke night with your friends or anything?
No, my That's friends and time. I we play cards and we play video games God, together.
Man, we are such different people.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. All right, everybody knows this.
Next question.
Well, I have to keep looking.
It was stupid.
I have to look it up. All right, we've got. Actually, I think that's it. Oh, okay. Someone asked us to talk about the lack of Canucks toughness, which I don't really think.
Big fella's here. We had him on the show
last
episode.
Big fella's there. You know, I don't know.
Roussel's a little tough guy.
I don't know. Elias Pettersson's tough in the way you'd like players to be tough.
JT Miller's tough.
Yeah, exactly. Like, JT Miller's tough. JT Miller led them in hits and points. That's what I want. I don't want, like...
Tyler Motte's tough. He led them in hits per 60.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler Motte's mentally tough.
He almost had double the hits on any other Canuck per hits per 60.
Exactly. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that.
Prospects report.
Someone asks, which of you is better looking? You should spend at least a couple minutes on it.
I'd say you're better looking.
But you're taller.
Yeah, I know. I have that going for me. Yeah. That's my best trait.
Exactly.
Is being 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've got better style than you. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. My style is Canucks t-shirts and like mostly shorts.
Like sweatpants?
I'm wearing sweatpants right now. I heard these are nice sweatpants, though. Like, these are, like, black and kind of suede. I asked the girlfriend when I went on the second date with her. I said, is it bad that I wore sweatpants?
You wore sweatpants on your second date?
I wore these on the second date, and I asked, like, is it bad that I wore sweatpants? She's like, those aren't sweatpants. They're
ask her now that you've been dating for longer than the... She was just being
nice. She likes these pants.
Okay, that's fair. Huh. I mean, yeah, I'm wearing like, joggers right now. I wear these a lot.
Like, I wouldn't wear what you're wearing.
No?
I wouldn't. No.
All right, everybody.
I like my pants to make it past my ankles.
They're just rolled up. Leave me alone.
Sure they are.
I'm wearing Timberlands, these brown pants that my family all makes fun of me for, but they're very fashionable. And then I'm wearing a Canucks Convo long sleeve.
Yeah, that looks good. I'd wear that.
Nice. Never thought I'd tell people what I was wearing on the podcast. This is getting really weird.
It's like one of those, what are you wearing? Get the old call in.
Yeah, so Timberlands, brown.
No, that's what we should have done. Like, there's not a lot of news. We should have, because we have it now with the Roadcaster set. We could have people call in.
We should do that right radio now. Show. We should just call. We should make
just
a phone call.
Post one of
right
our phone
now.
Numbers? No phone call. Yeah, just make a quick call. See if Drantz.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Drantz.
No,
there
mind.
He is. No, nope, we got the voicemail.
Straight to voicemail. That's where our phone calls go.
What an episode this has been. I think this has been like no other episode in Canucks Convo history, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, that's fun. This is what we always do on the Patreon, though.
It is. It's just weird that
like
our
we're
main
selling
listeners.
The Patreon, but like if you want to join the Patreon, you should.
This happens every week if
you go like
on the Patreon.
This, you might hate this if you came here for a Canucks song.
Yeah,
done, like,
sorry.
Really, I feel like we've like kicked ass with Canucks episodes last, like, honestly, like last 3 months, I feel like we've been knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, give us a break.
And this is completely off the rails.
Yeah, we should just call this Faber and Quads Shoot It. We should call this episode
this should just be called like the Patreon sale episode.
Please subscribe to our Patreon.
Can I give a prospects update at least
around
this
episode? That's right. I was
like, we've had some fun and it's time to get serious. Vasily Podkolzin today. It was horrible to watch. Vasily Podkolzin's Corsi in that game, 30%. Bad game, all in all. Like I said, Goldobin looks so damn good. But bad game for him. Not like bad on the eye test. Like, he was playing fine. He only got a minute 44 in the third period. Like, damn. A minute 44. And then this is on the same day that the KHL released an article where they sat down with Vasily Podkolzin. This is good. It's like, we don't get a lot of stuff from Vasily Podkolzin, obviously, out of Russia. We don't get anything out of him. Like, I read every single article that's put out by, like, SK or SKA, which I'm trying to work on. It's not SK, it's SKA.
SKA.
I'm trying to work on that. So every article they put out, I'm looking for quotes from pods. You don't really get much ever. But this was, like, an all-out one-on-one interview where they sat down with him. Apparently in Russia, and a lot of people that, like, are around the sport compare him to Connor McDavid.
What?
Like, that was one of the questions that they asked him. They asked him, like, what is it like for you to be compared to as the Russian Connor McDavid? Like, what is it like for you to have all these comparisons to Connor McDavid? It was just like, whoa, like, where did this come from? Like,
meanwhile, Canucks fans, like, how many goals did he score?
Yeah, everybody just wants this freaking basketball Phil over here to piss me off today. I, like, snapped back at basketball Phil today because he's like, I just saw a reply come up on my phone, and it was basketball Phil, and he's like, what are the chances of him making the world junior team for Russia anyways? And I just immediately snap back, respond. I'm just like, oh, piss off. I'm going to come over there and smack you, like, to Phil. And then I look and he's asking about Dmitry Zlodiev. So I'm like, oh, sorry, Phil. Like, I just snap back real quick on Twitter. He's starting to piss me off. And it wasn't even, he was actually, he's like, no, it's a legitimate question. And then I read up and I was like, oh, he's answering to the Zlodiev clip that I tweeted out like early this morning. I thought he was just saying something stupid about Podkolzin. But yeah, so.
Oh my gosh.
That's actually hilarious. An interesting thing. Like, Zlodiev, I wonder what his odds are of making the world junior team
this
year.
It's a legit question.
This year, it is a legitimate question. Thanks, Basketball Phil, for finally bringing something to the freaking table.
Thanks, Phil.
But yeah, like, I don't really know. I'd have to look at it a little bit more, but I feel like there's not a lot of players his age that are scoring, you know, in more than half of their VHL games. you know, Zlodiev has 4 goals in 7 games in the VHL now. So it's kind of impressive. And I'd be interested to see if he has a chance this year. Definitely next year. I think he'll definitely be on Russia next year. Like, looking at some of the other players that were drafted in this draft and looking at players around his age, I think there's a serious shot he makes a team next year.
And you look at who he's playing around, right? Like,
yep.
He's got Triniev, who is
a 4th-round pick for the Washington Capitals. The other guy that plays for him, number 84, don't know his name yet. But he was potentially going to get drafted. He didn't. And he's an 18-year-old. So that all 18-year-old line today in the VHL looked good, scored a goal. Got scored on once, but it, you know, wasn't really his fault, I guess, in the end. And good looking like prospect for him. But yeah, back to Bob Colson, minute 44 in the third period. I think he finished like 8 minutes or just over 9 potentially. And yeah, that article asked him about his coaches, and it was like, what have some of the coaches get brought to you? Or it was something like that. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something about what the coaches have brought to him. And he kind of talked about how it was really cool being in his first game, because his first line, if you remember this, the first time Pod Coles played in the KHL, his center was Pavel Datsyuk, and his other winger was Nikita Gusev, who was like tearing up the KHL at the time. And this is how he came in, and they started him on the ice for the first time with him. And like, he talked about one coach saying this, just like, listen, if you've made it here, there's a reason you're here, and he said it like it calmed him, it made him like happy. There's another coach he talked about that he had up until Major Junior, which is the MHL over there. He was like, that coach helped him a lot with saying, like, you deserve to be here, you worked hard. Like, if you're in the spotlight, you're there for a reason. And then it got to the coach that he has right now. And all he said about Valerie Bragan, who's his current coach at SKA, all he said was, like, he knows me and I know him. And then he moved, and then they asked, and then he didn't even, like, say anything else about that coach. That's all he said. He knows me and I know him. And then he's like, and now this coach that we have here covering for him, which I forget his name, but he's like, he's in analytics. He runs analytics for Russian hockey, like the world Russian teams. Like, he runs the analytics for them. He runs the analytics for the world juniors. And he also works for SKA. He does analytics for them too. So he's the coach now. And he's like, and then he came in and brought all this energy and like said that, you know, like came into the room and gave us these talks. Like, and all he said in that whole paragraph was just like that one thing about Valerie Bragan. It's like, he knows me and I know him. And that's a coach he's had for 3 years.
Wow.
Like these other coaches, this other coach he's had for what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks since the COVID outbreak? And he's like praising him, and he's praising his other coaches that brought him up. He's praising the coach that was there that, you know, helped him get involved with Datsyuk and got him sitting with Nikita Gusev on a first line. And all he says about the guy who's been there for 3 full years is, I know him and he knows me. Like, how can you not read into that, right?
Yeah, wow. That's a bombshell on the prospects report.
It was.
I mean, you're going to do an article about it for Canucks Army.
It's done. I wrote that 1,000-and-something-word article in like 15 minutes. I was so ready to write that because, like, I've been pissed off about it for a long time. And I know that, like, it just pisses me off because, like, I wasn't really able to word this in the article. But, like, when I see him play, it's like he has to be the first off. Like, he has to keep short shifts. And it's just like, I just feel like that's been, like, beat into him from the coach. You just, like, I feel like the coach never, like, assures him that he's doing a good job. Like, he's always quick, the first guy to change on his line. I don't know. There's just a lot. Like, it just seems like...
He should come on the podcast so we can tell him.
Yeah.
You're doing great, Vasily. Just keep it up, sweetie.
Yeah, you're doing great, sweetie. Yeah, so that's... I don't know. I just think that it's tough to see, like, him compete, how hard he is, and just not get rewarded with anything. So that's my prospect report.
The Russian Connor McDavid. I love it. I'm going to refer to him as that from now on.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Russian Connor McDavid.
He talked a little bit about players around him at his age when he was 15 getting drafted into the CHL, and how he thought that route was really good for some people, but he wanted to stay in Russia and he wanted to play with SKA. And like, he liked what SKA was doing. He liked the city. He said he loved the city. I think it must have been like a weird translation, but like, he's like, everywhere you lay your eyes is wonderful, or everywhere you lay your eyes is beautiful, or that's something like that. Yeah, it was like, and that's the other thing. Like, I tried to consider that when I was looking at the article and like what he only said about the one coach. So it's translated to English from Russian. So, but I don't know. I think there's something to read into there, because that's what I've been reading to the situation before hearing the quotes from him, and then seeing the quotes just kind of reassured me. So. It's a tough spot, man. Kid's stuck there until this season's over. Everybody's like, can he come? Can he come? Can he get over here? He can't come till the damn playoffs are over.
Hashtag free pods.
And unfortunately, I'll wrap up the prospects report. Pod Colson, 0 points in his last 7 games. And Nils Höglander, 0 points in his last 5 games. So
just
I'm waking up at 6 a.m. tomorrow. please bring me some. You know what? It's ever since Höglander came on the show.
Damn.
Some of these podcasts, they have a bump. We have a dump. It's the Canucks combo dump, and we just gave it to Nils Höglander.
Who plays for?
You keep turning it down.
Dregler.
Call Durant's real quick.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Durant.
Maybe next time.
I love our buttons. They're great. Anyways, I think if you don't have anything else to add, I'm going to close it out here. So for Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrilli, and you've been listening to The Canucks Conversation.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Durant.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.